Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Joe Pott in for Matt Pauley tonight and tomorrow night. That rain does just continue, which, man, I'm a Dave Murray fan, but let's. He said it was going to be spotty. There's nothing spotty about what's coming down in downtown right now. This is I would even almost call it a heavy rain. It's definitely a very steady rain, but I'm tired of it. Like, if we're gonna get precipitation like this in the winter, let's make it some snow. I need some snow. Although I might be sorry that I wish for that, because I know this coming weekend we could get some nasty weather, and I don't necessarily want to be dealing with that. Let's give you an idea. This is what we're going to do coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. I mentioned we would talk some Blues hockey, so we will do that coming up in our second segment. We'll talk to Matthew DeFranks, who I can't remember if I've had a chance to talk with him on this program or not. He is probably, did he come mid-season last year to join the beat? He's not been but a couple of seasons on the beat, but does a great job covering the Blues for STL Today and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So we'll get a chance to chat with him, of course, ahead of the Winter Classic, which is tomorrow at Wrigley Field. I'm still, as I think I mentioned this, I'm still of the mindset this is a good thing. So I like the Winter Classic. I think it's cool. Man, I don't know that if I wanted to be in Minnesota a couple of years ago when the Blues were there, when somebody, they were telling me literally it was warmer to stand in front of the open beer coolers than it was out in the regular air. It was just, I mean, it was like negative temperatures, crazy wind chill, but in a way that would be kind of fun. Maybe not three periods of hockey fun, but like a little bit to experience it, I guess. I don't know that I would be, I'm not that diehard to do that, but I still do think it's a cool thing. And I think it's cool. The Blues and Blackhawks are doing it again. And as Daniel Esteve said, Blues have a perfect record so far in the Winter Classic. So why not just keep it there as they take on the Hawks tomorrow? It is college basketball season. And of course, you probably know that's part of my full-time gig at SIU Edwardsville. So the Cougars are back home this week after this has been an actual Christmas break for us, which is cool. It's been that way for the team. The OVC, which is where SIUE plays, also where Lindenwood plays, also where Southeast Missouri State plays. And then if you go to the east side, Western Illinois, Eastern Illinois, there's a lot of fairly local teams in the OVC. But the OVC has gone to a full 20-game schedule, a full round-robin schedule this year, which is the first time in a while they've done the full round-robin. And the 20 games, obviously, is an expansion from where it's been the last couple of years. So they played opening weekend, Thursday, Saturday, they played opening weekend ahead of the break before Christmas. So it was the 20th and 22nd or 19th and 21st, I think 19th and 21st. And so that means no games during that 27, 28, 29. That's usually when opening weekend would be in the Ohio Valley Conference. Some schools took it upon themselves to have a home game, play a game right there. SIUE did not. So the Cougars come back on Thursday. They've got Western Illinois on Thursday night at First Community Arena. And on the men's side, the 8 o'clock game, that is the national ESPNU game. So the first game of the year for the Ohio Valley Conference picked up in the national television package. So I would encourage you, if you're looking for something right after the new year, what better way than to go out and see a really good basketball game? Because Western Illinois has had a good non-conference start to their season. SIUE has had a very good non-conference start to their season, which is why the game was picked in the first place. The way they do it in the OVC is that they base the game on kind of the two hot teams at the time, and they make that choice a couple of weeks out. So that's how that game got picked. But I would invite you to come out to SIUE for some really good basketball there. And Then on Saturday, it's Lindenwood at SIUE, which has turned into a really good local rivalry. I think you're always kind of looking at the college level for what's going to be that rivalry, and that has really turned into a rivalry as Lindenwood is making its transition in its third of 4 years, the transition to Division I sports, and they've had outstanding success, specifically this year, winning the women's soccer championship, winning the volleyball championship in the league, and they've been on the rise as far as basketball goes, and as I said, it's been a really good start to that Division I conference rivalry. It's so easy, obviously, to get between SIUE and Lindenwood. There's about 40 minutes between each campus. So you're talking about folks from Lindenwood making the trip over to Edwardsville, folks from Edwardsville making the trip out to Lindenwood. And as the Lions continue that transition, that's only going to get better. And as SIUE, I think, continues its rise, they've had two really good men's basketball seasons the last two seasons, building on that here in this season. And I think that's just going to be a better and better rivalry as I said, as Lindenwood grows into that Division I feel. And I think it's been fun already. It's both games, because they play twice a year, and they've played twice a year for the past few years. Both games, whether it's in Edwardsville or it's in St. Charles, have been great games from an atmosphere standpoint, because of, like I said, really easy to make those trips. And I think coming into the Ohio Valley Conference, really good for Lindenwood, because also there's maybe a couple of hours between Lindenwood and Southeast Missouri. Same with SIUE in Southeast Missouri. There's only a couple of hours between SIUE and Eastern Illinois. That's what starts to build those rivalries and starts to make those really fun games. And that's coming up again on Saturday. So it's a 3:30 game on Saturday at First Community Arena in Edwardsville. So Thursday, Saturday in Edwardsville, going to be a really good weekend of college basketball. Plus, the Cougars really need some wins. They need a couple of wins here to start the OVC season. And again, Thursday night's going to be a national TV audience. So come to Edwardsville. You got a chance to be on TV and be part of a national TV game there at First Community Arena. Tickets certainly available. It's still the end of Christmas break, so there's not going to be a ton of students around. I think students will start to make their way back maybe for this weekend's games, and then be in full swing once the next week rolls around. But it's a good opportunity to come out and see some really good college basketball. Like any college basketball conference in the country, once you get into conference play, there is something different about it. It's more intense. It's more exciting. Every game, literally every game, means more to both those teams than the non-conference, especially at the Ohio Valley Conference, the mid-major level. The non-conference season is cool, and it means something to go and get wins and prepare, but ultimately it's that conference season, because that is in reality, that's what will make the difference. That's what will allow a Lindenwood or an SIUE or a Southeast Missouri, which did this a couple of years ago. You have to get the best seed you can get for the tournament. You have to then go win that tournament to get that bid to the NCAA tournament. The OVC has been a two-bid league a few times, but it's not on a regular basis. Regularly, those teams have got to get there by winning the conference tournament. You win that conference tournament by putting yourselves in the best position by getting the bye or getting the double bye, which is how they do it in the Ohio Valley Conference. So, conference basketball in full swing, and there's going to be plenty of great games to come in conferences all over the, not just all over the area, but all over the country. But this week it is SIUE Western Illinois on Thursday, SIUE Lindenwood on Saturday. So come out and join us, and I'll be out there, obviously. So come say hi. I would love to say hi to anybody who's listening as well. Blues Talk is coming up. We're going to visit with Matthew DeFranks on the other side of the break. He covers the Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and for STLtoday.com. The Blues are in Chicago. They will be at Wrigley tomorrow for the Outdoor Winter Classic game. Matthew DeFranks is coming up. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. I'm Joe Pott, in for Matt Pauley, and we will be back on Camo X. It is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on a Monday night as we talk some Blues hockey here. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk with Matthew DeFranks. He is he covers the Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and for STLtoday.com. So we'll get into a little Blues talk with him and kind of figure out, you know, I've asked a couple people kind of where they think that the Blues are, or to be honest, if they have a good handle on what they think the Blues are. So we can ask that question to Matthew DeFranks as well. I was thinking before, I'm not sure. I can't remember if we've had a chance to do it or not here on KMOX, if we've had a chance to catch up on KMOX. So this might be the first time that we've had a chance to chat. If not, it's been one other time maybe since he has come onto the beat to talk some Blues hockey. So he'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. As I mentioned as well, we'll hear a little bit coming up in later on in this hour. We're going to hear from Dennis Dodd, and he writes for CBS Sports and appears for CBS Sports as well. But he visited earlier today with Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler, and they talked a lot about the college football playoff. So we're going to get into that as well, let you hear that and all that he had and all that he chatted about. I think we might have a few minutes at the end of the 7 o'clock hour if you do want to get some phone calls in then and chat about anything that's kind of on your mind here as we come down to the last couple of days of the 2024 calendar year. Again, tomorrow night. Let's not project too far ahead. Tomorrow night, we can get into maybe some of your expectations for 2025, some of your predictions, if you will. So if you want to be thinking about that, you can think about maybe some of your predictions for 2025 and what you expect or what you hope even is going to come true in the 2025 sports calendar, which of course will finish out this current Blues season, and we'll look ahead at this upcoming Cardinals season, the upcoming St. Louis City season. There's a lot to look forward to, I think, as we get into 2025. But we can do that a little bit more tomorrow night. Still trying to get connected with Matthew DeFranks. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do that. So we'll get into instead. Let's get into the Dennis Dodd interview now. We'll get a chance, hopefully, to catch up with Matthew DeFranks then coming up in our next segment. So this, again, was earlier this afternoon. Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler on the DGS talking a little college football playoff, and they do it with CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd.
You'll find him on Twitter at Dennis Dodd CBS. You can find him on CBS Sports HQ. I feel like every time I look up, Dennis, you're on there doing stuff, which is a compliment, by the way. I always love seeing you. We appreciate you doing this, man. How you been?
I'm good. Happy New Year to everyone in St. Louis, and happy and healthy times.
Dennis, it's been a while, man. Great to talk to you, as always. I was intrigued by a recent story of yours and made me laugh, made me smile. How the Big Ten and the SEC seem to be in cahoots to set up play-in games rather than conference championship games, standalone games, so they would ensure that they get three automatic bids to the playoff tournament. As you indicated, the ACC and some others aren't real happy about that. Fill us in on that. It's a funny story, actually.
Now, this goes back to earlier this year when, I don't know if you guys remember, that the Big Ten and the SEC tried to force feed, like, I think it was, at that time it was four automatic qualifiers each into the format. This would be in beginning in 2026. And that the reaction was so, I guess, negative and violent from administrators and ADs around the country that it just kind of tabled it. But you knew this was coming because both conferences have the leverage to do it. You know, fine, you don't want to do it, we'll do our own. So it's going to happen, I think. What and this came from the Big Ten. What they want to do beginning in 26 is on that championship Saturday, which is typically the first or second Saturday in December, not only play a championship game, but to play two additional games as play-ins for the playoffs, sixth seed versus third seed, fourth versus fifth, and you better believe the SEC is going to imitate it if they get it passed. And that would in some way legitimize the process, because at least they'd be playing for it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it'll pass. But it would cause it would require a change in the NCAA rules to add that game.
Man, you know, Dennis, I think a lot of the problems that exist in college football in particular, not so much college sports, but college football in particular, the things that people are complaining about and the things that SEC people and primarily are complaining about are problems created by the massive expansion of those two conferences. I mean, there's a reason why Indiana's schedule is so dramatically different from Ohio State's. It's because they have too many damn teams to make sure that the schedules are similar.
Yeah, and it's really the case for all the major conferences now. I've harped on this through the season that the reason Indiana's schedule is what it is, and by the way, it was not bad. I didn't hear anybody in July looking at Indiana's schedule and saying it was easy. They were playing the defending national champs, Michigan,
right.
Ohio State,
Washington,
and Washington, who played for the national championship. So if you're going to criticize it, it's revisionist history within the context of the schedule. That wasn't fair. The reason it happened to them or anybody else is realignment and consolidation, where in all these major conferences, all of the Power Four, in any given year, and every year, you're literally not playing half the league. And so that means in any given year, you could have a randomly tough schedule or a very easy schedule, which some of these teams had. They couldn't be evaluated, maybe fairly. But that's on the commissioners. That's on realignment.
Right.
That's on TV. Don't blame Indiana.
Right. And what was fascinating to me in all of this, using Indiana as the example, because the team that beat them, that allegedly, quote, outclassed them, had basically the same strength of schedule Indiana did and the same record, but not a word about Notre Dame in those ways.
Right, that's right. And Notre Dame, I think proved itself after the they've got a different set of circumstances they have to live by, because they're never going to get a bye in this current system. That's what they agreed to, since they're not in a conference and go play in a championship game. They're always going to play in a first-round game if they get into the playoffs.
Right.
But they earned their way in 11 in a row and counting after Northern Illinois, and Marcus Freeman's got an extension. And I would dare say at this point, when we're talking about the Lincoln Rileys of the world and some of these guys earning all this money, it developed into discussion for one of the better coaches in the country, with what he's done.
Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports is with us right now here on the Dave Glover Show, Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. Kevin's not filling in because he's a member of the Dave Glover Show, but I'm filling in. Dennis, I wanted to just run through the games with you. I'm not going to ask you to like pick a winner or any of that stuff, but just sort of like laying it out for us. For example, let's go in order. How much of a shot do you give Boise State? They're an 11-point underdog against Penn State. That's the one game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've kind of broken all these down for us on the website. There's a path for Boise State, but it's not necessarily with Ashton Jeanty. I mean, I'm going to assume that Penn State's defense slows down Ashton Jeanty. That doesn't mean he won't get the Barry Sanders record. He only needs 132 more yards.
Right.
But I think what their quarterback, Maddox Mattson, has proved during the season is when teams line up and crowd the box, that he can throw and throw to win. He has averaged, in a season where Ashton Jeanty has averaged 192 rushing yards per game, he has averaged over 29 passes per game and is the only player in the country to have 20 touchdown passes and less than 5 turnovers. That's saying something. Now, again, they're stepping up in competition from the Mountain West. But I think to win, they're going to need Maddox Mattson. I don't think Ashton Jeanty's going to go nuts and beat Penn State by himself. And that being said, Penn State's going to win.
And by the way, let me follow up on something you said, because you do have a fresh story up. It's at the top of the college football news at CBSSports.com. College football playoff games and predictions. And so you go through all that. I thought it was really, really well done. All right, the next game in chronological order, it would be Texas-Arizona State. Arizona State, a 12-point underdog. I have a hard time buying Arizona State in this one, or am I maybe taking them for granted? I mean, I realize they're hot,
yeah,
and I realize they're fun, but, man, all the athletes that Texas has, there seems to be a gap. How much of a gap?
Yeah. It's best just not to overthink this one. Texas is stronger, faster, better. I think the crippling blow to Arizona State is late in the season. They lost their leading pass catcher, Jordan Tyson, who I think finished third in the Big 12 in the season. He's out for the season. Their next leading pass catcher, guys, is their tailback, Cam Scatterbird.
Wow.
And he, as good as he is, he's the spiritual leader of that team. He averages 3 receptions per game. So, you know, they've got guys. I just don't know who they are, who they're going to fill in. Texas is playing at the top of the game. You know, we all saw what they did against Clemson. An All-American at left tackle and Kelvin Banks Jr. They have like a 3-headed running back committee now, even though they lost 2 tailbacks in the preseason, the season-ending injuries. The defense is one of the best in the country. In fact, as an aside, of the 8 teams left, 5 of those teams are ranked in the top 10 in defense. So you can figure out that Arizona State is not one of those 5. And so that may be the deciding factor. I will go one step further. Quinn Ewers, you know, I can't believe in him for Texas to win the national championship. There's just something about him, and I don't know what it is. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 25 straight games. That leads FCS right now. But he doesn't seem to have that it. You know, a guy that's maybe not as talented that had that it is Will Howard at Ohio State. I'm out here in L.A. for the Rose Bowl.
Oh, nice.
He's got that look of a guy. But Quinn Ewers does not. But in that game, yes, Texas.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You mentioned the Ohio State-Oregon game in the Rose Bowl. Fascinating matchup, a rematch from earlier in the year. It's only a 2.5-point spread, and Ohio State's the favorite. Really, the 8 seed is favored over the undefeated number 1 seed. Has Ohio State changed their profile that much with what they've seen the last couple of days? I know it was a close game before, so I think this is a coin toss as far as who wins or loses. I am a little surprised the 8 seed is the favorite when Oregon's had the bye and Ohio State just had to play.
Yeah, I would forget the seeds in this whole thing, you know, because, yes, Oregon is number 1 and deserves to be. But because they didn't win their conference, Ohio State, and they laid a total egg against Michigan as well. They had 2 losses, could not get one of those top, you know, those top 5 seeds. Boise State was a seed higher than them. But I think Ohio State's playing well. Yes, I agree. A team, this razor thin margin, a team that lost by 1 at Oregon on October 12th, 2.5 months later, is now a 2-point favorite to win on a neutral field. And don't forget how that game ended. It was only because Will Howard slid to a stop at the Oregon 29 and had some spatial unawareness that the clock had run out. But Ohio State went home and not only lost, but a timeout in its pocket they could have used to kick the game-winning field goal. Now I'm just getting ready to file this story on how he beat himself up since then. You know, never mind they're back to this place playing for a national championship. They may have just played their best game of the season against Tennessee. But I do like Ohio State, and I like Ohio State to win the whole thing. I think they've gotten over the mental hurdle of Michigan, and that was as bad as I've seen any team in a game like that in a big-time rivalry just self-combust.
Dennis out of CBS.
We're great against Tennessee, and I think they're going to keep going.
Sorry about that, man, because I know you've got time constraints, so I was trying to get you out of here. So anyway, I don't want to, but, you know.
No, I was just making reference. I'm good.
Yeah, so you picked Notre Dame to beat Georgia in a narrow one. Has it come down to just Notre Dame's defense is too good, and maybe we shouldn't get too carried away by what we saw from Gunnar Stockton? A lot of it was good against Texas. Well, so give us your feeling on that, why you settled on Notre Dame.
There's a lot. Before I answer that, I will say this about Georgia. There is a sense of release and belief and rallying around Gunnar Stockton. They've had enough of Carson Beck, who declared for the draft last week. Lamborghini guy, flashy girlfriend, first one out of the building, last one in. Mm. That's the vibe I'm getting. So that emotionally and belief-wise, they've rallied behind Gunnar Stockton. Never mind, he has thrown 51 career passes and Riley Leonard has 75 career touchdowns. They think they can do it. Here's what I think Notre Dame can win, a close game. Very physical, run the ball. I believe in the defense, especially the back 7. Georgia's running game, and I didn't go back any further, this is their worst running game statistically in at least 10 years. They have, what was the other stat I had on that? There was one even worse than that. Georgia had been bad at. It escapes my mind right now. But they are not good. Their defense, running game worst in 10 years, defense worst in 13 years. They're 35th in the country. Aside from Arizona State, they might have the worst ranked defense in the eight remaining teams. And everybody talks about Georgia's defense. I think that can be exploited with the running game by Notre Dame. So I like them in a thin one.
Dennis, you are the best, man. We appreciate you squeezing us in. We don't have time today to get into your beloved St. Louis Blues, but we can find time another time. And by the way, if you're ever around town, let us know, man. We'll get tickets. We'll go hang out at the Blues game or a Cardinals game if it's during the summer. But, you know, we love you. We appreciate you. And next time we'll talk more hockey with you.
I will definitely do that. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Thank
Dennis
you,
Dodd
friend.
Is the best. You can find Dennis Dodd, of course, on Twitter, at Dennis Dodd CBS. You'll see him on CBS Sports HQ quite a bit.
Back in on the Graybar Sports Open Line here on a Monday night. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly today and tomorrow. And we'll switch gears here. We'll talk a little Winter Classic and Blues hockey. And Matt DeFranks is with us. He covers the Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. And we owe him a big thanks because we were bothering him during the pregame press conferences here earlier this evening. And so sorry for that, and we appreciate you doing this now for us.
Oh, no worries at all. Yeah, I think they ran a little late, so if anything, it's their fault.
Yeah. All right, we'll blame them. I'll be sure to get on them. What's the weather like right now in Chicago?
Today was gorgeous. Probably about 40 degrees. It was to the point where I didn't even know what temperature it was because it wasn't at that level where I needed to know, right?
Nice.
It was comfortable. I was outside for a couple hours, and only towards the end of it did I feel like I needed to put my gloves on. See your breath, but it wasn't really that bone chilling. It was a beautiful day today. Tomorrow, when I've looked at forecasts before, it showed a little bit of rain in the morning. I don't know what it looks like or what it's going to be like tomorrow, but if tomorrow is like today, it should be a gorgeous day in Chicago.
Fantastic. Good to know. Blues, Blackhawks tomorrow, 4:00. Puck drops there at Wrigley Field. They're coming off certainly a lackluster result, and it's certainly the last half of that third period against Buffalo on Sunday. Not the way I'm sure they wanted to finish off that two-game homestand going into this Winter Classic.
Yeah, and like if you watch that game in its totality, you would look at it and say, all right, well, the Blues played okay enough. They probably should have deserved it. Won probably 2 points out of that game. But, when you play more games like that, you'll get the results. And I think most of the times you'd look at it that way. But against a team like that who had just recently lost 13 games in a row.
Yeah.
And when you're looking for your first three-game win streak of the season, you're having a big game before the Winter Classic. It just was a disappointment, right? I think a lot of other times you would look at it as kind of an encouraging game to watch, even if they didn't get a point out of it. But because of the errors they made in the third period with turnovers, taking penalties, they put themselves in a position to win, and they just didn't take advantage of it. So that was the disappointing part of it, even if they did play well overall. And so I think they can – honestly take a lot of good things from the how they played at 5-on-5 against Buffalo. It's just the special teams were not good enough. They gave up two power play goals, went 0-for-4 themselves on the power play. So a lot that didn't go right for the Blues on the night when they probably deserved more than 0 points for sure.
You lead me right into my next thought or my next point, which was the special teams, because that was certainly the issue or one of the issues, I guess, yesterday. But it's been that's unfortunately a little bit of a theme for this year, that they hold their own, play well 5-on-5, but it's oftentimes the special teams that have snuck up and got them. They're in the bottom five in the league in power plays right now.
Yeah, I mean, the power play, I think, is – I got my numbers right. 1 for their last 20. They went a 7-game stretch where they didn't score on the power play, and then they did score against Nashville on a 4-on-3, and Cam Fowler's goal went in at the very second that a power play expired. So didn't technically count as one,
sure.
But in spirit it was, right? So they found a little bit of success against Nashville, and they've been kind of changing up the units. you know, from what I could see of practice in Ridley Field today, and it's tougher to see who's who out there when they don't have the big numbers in a stadium. It looked like they had moved around some guys, and it looked like Sundquist was on the top power play unit at the net front with Thomas, Buchnevich, Holloway, and Fowler. And then on the second unit, it looked like it was Neighbors, Tyru, Shen, Boulder, and Fox. So they've been trying to mix up personnel, trying to find different things that can maybe get them going a little bit. But the power play has been something that has been an issue for sure. And recently, it's been costing them games, honestly.
Matt DeFrank's with us from STL Today and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. He, of course, covers the Blues. Do you feel like you're getting a handle, or we're getting a handle, on what the Blues are or certainly are aspiring to be under Jim Montgomery?
Yeah, I think a little bit. You know, he's a process-oriented coach, which means, you know, normally he would look at a night like, or a day like Sunday, and say, you know what, we played well enough. I like the way we played, and the result doesn't really it matters, but it doesn't really dictate how he feels about how they played. And so I think that's number one when it comes to Jim Montgomery, is understanding that that's how he views the game, and he views it as a process and not results-based with how his team's playing. Obviously, coaches are judging results, and that's not going to be lost on him, but that's step one with him. And the other things he likes is, you know, he's a puck pressure, puck possession-based coach. That's the way he teaches things. He teaches, you know, active defensemen and, you know, connected forwards where they're able to cover for them. And, you know, when you have that, you have five guys working together and you have longer offensive zone shifts. And the things that really matter to Montgomery that he tracks every game, you know, they're odd man rushes, total scoring chances, offensive zone possession. Like, it's not, you know, you're not reinventing the wheel, but you're kind of seeing what areas of the game are important to a coach and the way he evaluates it game by game. So, yeah, we'll see how the Blues look, you know, going forward under him, because I think the biggest thing we have to remember with this hire is that he wasn't hired for this team in particular. You know, they signed him to a 5-year contract. They hired him right now because he was available right now, but they view him as a coach who can lead them into their next transition when they do have, you know, younger players coming into their core, and they do have other players rotating out of the team. So that's kind of where the Blues think they're going under him. And, you know, I guess in the last half of the season, we'll understand a little bit more where everything is, that whole process with the Blues overall and under Jim Montgomery.
How big of an add has Dylan Holloway been? It seems to me, I mean, that is just, it looks, that the signing of those two on the offer sheets looked better and better as we go along, and certainly in the case of Dylan Holloway.
Yeah, and I think when Dylan Holloway had the hat trick in Detroit, it's an important game. Number one, first career hat trick in the NHL. Number two, it snapped a 6-game pointless streak, and that was after maybe the best hockey of his career. Mm-hmm. He had a 7-game point streak, and then suddenly went silent. Not just quiet, just he went silent. And to get that hat trick in Detroit was a good step in the right direction. He followed up with a 2-assist game, I believe, against Nashville. So he started to come on a little bit, and I'm trying to remember what I looked up after Holloway's hat trick. But, you know, he's 23 years old. And he was, I think, the youngest Blue to have a hat trick, I want to say, since Robbie Fabry, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
But I think he was the youngest player in the NHL this season to have a hat trick. So I think because Holloway was acquired in such a high attention way that we forget how young he still is, and the fact that he can still, you know, have almost an entire career with the Blues because he's only 23 years old. I think that gets lost in us sometimes just because it was a high-profile acquisition.
And likely going to be important just because of what you said, right? Because the Jim Montgomery is not necessarily here for the 24-25 Blues, but he is for the 26-27, 27-28 going forward. And Dylan Holloway at least figures to be a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing early on when Montgomery took over, that's when Holloway's point streak began to begin with, right? That's when you started seeing him flash a lot more. He had those two goals in Jersey. He was hard on pucks in New York against the Rangers. And Montgomery really liked the tenacity that he was showing. And he loves the willingness that Holloway shows to get better. You know, a lot of times he's one of the last few players on the practice ice, whether that's practice, morning skate, whatever. And when he's off the ice, then he goes to the shooting room. And that's something that Jim Montgomery has said over and over again that he likes about Dylan Holloway, is the fact that he's able to, you know, take what the coaches want him to do during practice and then add to it himself and want to get better and show that the ambition, the drive, whatever you want to call it. And Montgomery just says, you know, I like that Holloway is a hockey player. And that's the highest compliment that I can give someone, is that they're just a hockey player.
Yeah, I imagine that would be good coming from Monty for sure. Matt DeFranks, before we let you go, this feels like a big stretch. After the Winter Classic game, this team has 5 of the next 7 at home. January specifically has a lot of home games. It feels like they can make some hay here, as you will.
Yeah, the schedule definitely turns to their favor once January arrives. I mean, personally, I am very much looking forward to the game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I've never seen a hockey game in Ridley. I think I've only been to maybe 3 baseball games in Ridley, and I'm looking forward to it a lot. But the fact that after the game tomorrow, it's a home-heavy schedule, and it's not me packing my stuff and leaving every 3 days, I think that's going to be enjoyable for myself. And if I feel that way, I mean, I know the players and the coaches and the staff feel that way. And it's going to be a lot of home games, a lot of chances to write a home record that is, I believe it's 7-9-1. So, you know, if they can get their home record back to a place where they feel comfortable and can win games against some of these bad teams coming up. I mean, they have Ottawa, they have Columbus, they have, you know, Chicago even tomorrow, right? They have some bad teams on their roster, on their schedule. And if they can get some results against them and combine that with the home schedule, it's an important stretch for them, because if we look at it, you know, with the numbers, they're 500 right now, and they probably need to play at a 106-point pace the rest of the season in order to get to 95 points, which has typically been the cutoff. And even this year, 98 points is the 8th-place team in the West. So they have some work to do, and the schedule certainly should help them in January.
Well, Matt DeFranks, enjoy it. I agree. I think, boy, a hockey game at Wrigley sounds like it'd be a really cool experience. So have some fun. Enjoy it. Again, thanks for doing this tonight. I know it's busy around the Winter Classic, but we appreciate you taking some time for us tonight.
Yeah, I found a corner because Chance the Rapper's doing a sound check right now. So.
Oh, yeah. Get out there.
I appreciate it.
That is Matt DeFranks. He covers the Blues for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow on X at MDFranks. That's MDEFRANKS. We appreciate him taking some time. Winter Classic tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, is the puck drop at Wrigley Field. We'll wrap up this edition of the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. On the other side of the break, Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly, coming right back on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Last few minutes for us here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Joe Pott in for Matt Pauly here on this Monday night. I will be back tomorrow night as well. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, tomorrow, hopefully we'll have a little, chance for you to get in here and kind of talk about, I think the way that I want to do it, just thinking about tomorrow, is to think about maybe what's to come. We can talk a little bit about the good that it happened in 2024, but you know, honestly, there's a lot that I think we should be hoping for, expecting improvement upon. It wasn't a great Cardinals season. It was only an okay Cardinals season, and it probably only feels okay because of how bad 2023 was. So if 2023 had been a regular season, 2024 would have felt like a terrible season, which is what 23 was. It was a very similar season for St. Louis City. We didn't have anything really great. You know, they end up making the coaching change in July. Blues obviously missed the playoffs in the last year, 23-24. So here we are, 24-25, and you just heard Matt DeFranks talking about what he thinks it might take for them to make the playoffs in 25, which seems to be a little bit of a stretch. They're going to have to play some really good hockey going down the last couple of months here. And obviously they've got an opportunity with the home-heavy schedule here coming up in January. So it's not out of the realm. But I think that we'll take the approach tomorrow of maybe what you would like to see or hope to see or expect to see. Maybe what are your New Year's wishes for St. Louis sports? So we can do that tomorrow night and hopefully have a chance to get your calls in as well. And that'll be, of course, depending on what we have for guests. And my apologies tonight. We did have to kind of shuffle things around, but we did that and we got it all in. And my big thanks to Kyle Sixta, who put it all together and then, of course, made it all work as we got on the air here, too. We did have to adjust a little bit because of Matt DeFranks, but, you know, that was not his fault, obviously. His job is to cover the Blues, and he had to do that depending on the Winter Classic media schedule there. And so they actually went a little over the time, and that's what caused that. But he was kind enough to adjust for us and come on anyway, even after they had done that. Big thanks to Daniel Esteve as well. It's always great to catch up with Daniel. I don't know if you've heard, if you've seen, he is actually departing Fox 2, St. Louis 11. So we certainly wish him the best. I think he's still got a couple of weeks left on the station, but he'll be headed elsewhere. And I don't know where that is. I don't know if he knows where that is, but I did see that he has made that public that he is not going to be with Fox 2 St. Louis 11. So that I think that's a big loss, not just for what we do. I think he's great at what he does covering St. Louis sports for Fox 2. And he has been for many years now. And he's always been great to us. That's a part of the peek behind the curtain here is that obviously we're asking people to take time out of their night, out of their schedule. Like we said, he had just come off the air. So, you know, when we get folks that are willing and eager to come talk to us, whether it's me or it's Matt Pauly, or even as you heard with Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas, it's so much appreciated on our part. So thanks to Daniel Esteve. Thanks to Pat Doherty, again, who that was our first time getting a chance to chat from NBC Sports, and he's a St. Louisan, and that was great to chat with him as well. So we'll do it all again on Tuesday night on New Year's Eve, and we'll look ahead to what you think and what you hope and what you expect is coming up in 2025 for the year of St. Louis sports. I don't think it's going to be a terrible year. I think that we're in for a good sports year all around. I think the Cardinals season is going to be better than a lot of people think. But we can talk more about that tomorrow night and look ahead. And if you want to, we can reflect a little bit on 2024 as well. So in for Matt Pauly one more night tomorrow night to do a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Looking forward to chatting with you and talking about all that is to come in the new year. Again, thanks to Kyle Sixta. I'm Joe Pott. Keep it here on Camo X.